At the recent Global Insurance Forum held in Berlin, there were plenty of discussions about how the insurance industry is changing along with the world it serves. Sean Crawford, a partner at EY and a panel moderator at the conference, spoke with carrier management editor Mark Holmer about two of the bigger issues the industry has focused on these days, blockchain and Brexit.
Sean, thanks for taking the time to talk with me. And I very much enjoyed the panel on blockchain. And one of the things that I took away is that the idea of blockchain isn't the technology as much as how to get started. And larger insurers and smaller insurers and smaller agencies or whatnot, is it hard to start a blockchain process?
No, the thing is, what's happened in the past, blockchain's not been around for very long, so past can only be a year or 2 years, is that there's been a bit of technology out there and people are trying to find a problem that the technology can solve. What I would say is where we've moved to nowadays, right now here in the middle of 2018, is that it's all about identifying a business problem that the industry is trying to solve, which can then blockchain can become an answer to. So, for example, if the industry, as the industry does, wants to lower its combined ratio substantially, if the industry wants to cut out a load of manual processes, if the industry is trying to find new products to insure, given the fact that the market nowadays in property and casualty, it's about almost 80% of market is not even insured. Yeah, we're trying to find new products. We're going to have new technologies that can enable that, and blockchain is a technology that can enable that. Comes down to identifying a business problem and very clear what we're trying to solve first before implementing any technology.
There was a lot of discussion about joining forces and forming little groups and big groups to get this thing started. Now, is that something that agencies should consider, that smaller brokers should consider? Should there be all kinds of little mini groups and consortiums to get this going?
No, I think, look, the way we tackled it was we thought a small consortium, very, very small, so that we could work together. Over my career, 30, 40 years, I've been involved in a number of consortiums, which have never worked. Yeah? We have too many people involved with different ideas, different egos. Not saying that's not going to work in the future, but I've struggled to really get a benefit. What we found here is we had an end client, which was Maersk, the shipping company, who had a particular problem, a couple of problems they wanted to solve. So we chose key parties of the supply of the value chain, yeah, and just worked with a few of them to solve the problem they were trying to make. The whole, as it came out of the panel earlier on, as raised by Patrick, is that there is this network effect. Our view is start small, get it working, prove it right, make mistakes, because it's all about making mistakes, learn, get it correct, and then start bringing the network into it. And that's the way we tackled it. There's different ways of doing it. My personal view is that's the best way, because you can make mistakes. If it doesn't work at the beginning, you can throw it away and start again or reinvent. If you've got a big network there at the beginning, it's a lot more complicated to do that.
Another question on blockchain in and of itself. One of the things I've noticed in covering this is there seems to be a struggle to describe what blockchain is in layman's terms. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely. People have very different views. Most common view of blockchain is cryptocurrency or Bitcoin, which, as you all know, is all about algorithms. It's all about people trying to derive and mine for products and create products. And the big difference for Bitcoin and for cryptocurrency is that data is shared with everybody. Everybody gets absolute access to everything. It's just shared around. It's a complete open blockchain as such. What we're talking about here is very different. We're not talking about cryptocurrency. We're talking about how we can use data in a blockchain. And data means that you want certain parties to access certain data and you want certain parties not to access certain data. So you have to, the blockchain can manage the control of that data and the access points to all the constituent parties in your network. And we are fundamentally talking about data here, not currency.
Okay, fair enough. Let's talk about Brexit. Insurers have obviously been following this since the vote almost 2 years ago. They're making plans to set up affiliate offices in the European Union and all kinds of actions for when this happens. But this week, there were some changes. A lot of ministers resigned in the UK, and there's some thought about Theresa May's government falling apart. What does this mean as far as the Brexit process?
So look, it's things are moving so fast, yeah? But I would say, look, the majority of insurance companies, certainly insurance companies we deal with, have been planning for worst scenarios. That's what their job has been. They're protecting their businesses. They've been working on this for a year, 2 years, and many have already established where they're going to be putting their offices and starting to build it. So I think there's been a lot of planning and a lot of action already. Unless it's in those big insurance companies, because they manage long-term risk, they're not managed about short-term flyers. So most of those will be planning for all scenarios at the moment. What has happened is quite interesting over the last few days. So basically what's happened is that Theresa May has actually softened, put a softened Brexit in place and taken on the hard Brexiteers, basically trying to solve the Irish problem to make sure we got the border without having a frictionless border, and also enabling free flow of services. Industry has got to her, the businesses have got to her, that she's listened to the businesses. And she's saying that we need to try a different way of a halfway house in some cases around services, shared services across, which includes obviously insurance services across borders. And so this has, of course, caused controversy. It's caused problems. But, of course, we don't know yet how the European Union is actually going to receive her proposals. Yeah. So we'll see how that moves to. But as far as insurance companies are concerned, they've been planning for these eventualities. Yeah.
So
I don't see any sudden change happening now from the insurance industry as a result of what's happened over the last few days.
Okay. What is better then for insurers at this point, a soft Brexit or a hard Brexit?
So for insurers, the ultimate would be obviously a softer Brexit, because then they would have the European passporting issues, so less issues around some of the passporting, etc. But fundamentally, having to plan both. So what I'm saying is, you can say it's better, but they're actually planning so they can actually, because they can get competitive advantage too from if they're in place first, they've got their new businesses lined up. It's domestic insurers versus global insurers. For global insurers, it's about where they put their business. Yeah, mm-hmm. It then means they have to start training up new resources and skill sets. If they're going out of Frankfurt, or they're going out of Dublin or Paris, whatever it might be. But as I say, these are long-term businesses. They've been around for hundreds of years. This is what they're thinking, and we're involved in with many of them, and exactly what they're planning. Yeah. So I don't think what has happened is going to make you're not going to see any strategic change happening. But then personally, I don't think any insurers are going to, as a result of the last few days, they're going to see how this pans out. March 2019 is going to be pretty key. Yeah.
Fair enough. That's so, the day when it all happens.
That's when the day is supposed to happen, and things may change before then. But most important, I think, is how is the European Commission going to respond to Theresa May's white paper. Yeah.
Fair enough. One other thing I wanted to touch on with you is the idea of, as different countries are becoming more and more, there's instability and volatility.
Yes.
Does this present a growth opportunity for insurers?
Yeah, no, absolutely it does. And this is where we start getting into blockchain and data point of view, because it all comes down to insurers will always want to insure risk if they can understand the data. What is difficult is when you don't get access to the data and you find that most of the volatile areas are not insured because there's no way of protecting or minimizing the risk. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So I think that what's happening, there's definitely more opportunities with volatility, but it'll be more measured, and that's why data is going to play a role. That's why the algorithms that calculate the risk for underwriting are going to be much, much more detailed and analyzed, because the insurer is hiring more different types of talent. It won't just be pure actuaries. The underwriter of the future be someone with a far wider skill base, maybe geologists, maybe doctors, maybe all types of new types of scientific skills. And those people will be looking at over different types of data sources. So the volatility has been brought about, but there'll be far more data for them to analyze. It's just more opportunity. There's also more opportunity to minimize risk too. What we're seeing now, a lot of insurers are working with governments, with using big data, because they're investing in this, to find preventative measures for governments to start changing planning laws in certain areas where there's high volatility of storms or tidal waves or volcanoes, etc. Changing the laws of how people are going to build houses, where they're located and how they're going to build them. Making sure that they've got IoT devices in their pipes to measure pressure if water's going to go up and to burst. Yeah? All sorts of new devices and technologies are being used. And insurers are working with fintech organizations to help manage that volatility and give themselves a competitive advantage with a risk provision that perhaps they wouldn't have, or competitors certainly can't have given before.
Okay. Any final thoughts on what we've talked about?
I think this industry is going to gain tremendously as out of volatility. It's going to contract out of political uncertainty. And about all the issues that we're facing, all the other issues we're facing in the world. It's all about more information, more data that insurers can use to price risk. And I think it's a very exciting time. There'll be a big convergence of sectors. So it's not all about insuring one company. It's working with their client. Like we find insurers working with Maersk here about shipping. They're working together. They're sharing data together. They're much, much, much more reactive to what's happening in the world. many more external data sources coming in with IoT devices. You'll see the same happening with the clients of the shipping companies, for example. The big PLCs are moving their cars or moving their goods around the world. All that data will be shared. I think it's going to be a far bigger ecosystem, much more convergent of sectors, and that data will prove very valuable. And for those insurance companies who are up for it and are going to go for that change, very exciting future.
One more thing has occurred to me that this may not be something in your wheelhouse, but this whole Trump tariff issue. As this evolves into a potential tariff war, what does that mean as far as insurance? Are there any implications as far as coverage, as far as uncertainty about goods and services?
Again, it's where you think this is all going to go. I mean, there's a trade war, but is it going to go in a lasting trade war? Personal view is this is going to be a short-term thing and it'll sort itself out. Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe a realignment of certain countries, way they're going to do business with different countries. It'll iron itself out. But in the meantime, there's opportunity. There will be different insurance cover because there'll be different types of goods going different places. Yeah, but fundamentally, the industry will react and create new problems. The issue is much more around things like cyber risk and cyber insurance, those sort of issues, than the volatility of the trade rooms, because they have insurance cover. It'll just be why I think blockchain will be more important, because things will change. Different routes will happen. People won't trade in certain countries in the future and be able to see where those goods are traveling and where the transportation links and logistic links will be ever important.
I like how everything comes back to blockchain.
That's my job.
But interesting. In any case, thank you very much for your time.